Gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and birds came and ate them up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing. And they have shut their eyes so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for only a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Archie League is probably a name that very few of you might know. But even so, his pioneering work is credited with saving many lives, including yours and my life. Archie League is considered to be the first air traffic controller. In the early days of aviation, he was stationed in the airfield in St. Louis, Missouri. He worked before the installation of radio towers. He was a flagman at first, directing air traffic with just two flags. A checkered flag indicated to a plane that it was safe to go, and a red flag indicated to hold. And when a radio tower was installed in the 1930s, Lee became the first radio controller. So it wouldn't surprise you to hear that the safety awards for air traffic controllers is known as the Archie League Medals of Safety. They're handed out once a year to women and men who are able to think quickly, to remain calm under pressure, to resolve complex situations without hesitation, all while offering a reassuring voice to pilots. Two of this past year's recipients were Ross Leshinsky and Eric Knight. Stationed at Logan Airport in Boston, they were watching a Piedmont Airlines plane on approach through low cloud cover. And when the plane broke through the clouds with only an eighth of a mile to go, Leshinsky and Knight saw that the Piedmont flight was not lined up with the runway, but rather with one of the taxi lanes. In a split second, they alerted the plane to go around. And as the aircraft began to pull up, they realized that a JetBlue plane was holding on that taxiway awaiting takeoff. They would have surely collided without the quick reaction of the controllers. You know, on a weekend when so many are traveling, and even myself, I put my own daughter on a plane yesterday, these stories sensitize me to those moments when we're on a flight and we're making our final descent. that there is this conversation going on all around us of dozens of pilots and dozens of planes talking to the control tower, hanging on every word of instruction that they can get to get their plane and the souls on board safely to the ground. Don't you love that? In air transportation, air traffic controllers refer to the passengers as souls. The lives and souls of tens of millions of people hang in the balance of conversations that take place between these women and men in control towers and in airplane cockpits. And if you don't think that that's important, imagine yourself sitting in a commercial airliner, 35,000 feet up, and it's getting ready to descend into Newark Airport. And by accident, you overhear the pilot talking to the co-pilot saying, "Hey, why don't we just turn off all these radios and try to land this thing on our own? We've done this many a time. We can do this." How would that make you feel? Do you like that bravado? Or would you do everything that you can to make certain that they turn on that radio and that they listen to everything that the air traffic control has to say? Because without air traffic control, disaster looms. When I was in college, my roommate was a pilot, and he took me for a ride a couple of times, and I was amazed at how he hung on every word air traffic control said to him from that little airport in Beverly, Massachusetts. He did everything that they said without hesitation, immediately. Is anybody here a pilot? We've got a couple of pilots. You know exactly what I'm talking about. One wrong instruction, and the result can be tragic. You cannot arrive on your own, and that's the way that it is with our lives. The things that we do as human beings, we do not do on our own. We rely on the guidance, on the words, on the wisdom, on the direction of others. It's a truth that goes as far back as the first page of the Bible when God said it is not good for man to be alone. Our window this morning is the one on the stairs leading up to the balcony. It highlights the Bible, and in specific, Genesis 1, the account of creation. God never intended for humankind to go at it alone. In fact, we are better when we are together, and I wonder how many of us think that we really are in this life all on our own. How many of us consider ourselves alone in the cockpit with no headphones? How many of us feel like we're piloting through life without any help? It's probably the message that we've got somewhere along the way. That life is a matter of learning from our mistakes, and it's trial by error or trial by fire. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and the best school to go to is a school of hard knocks, of course. Turn off the radio and see if you can land this thing without any help. But of course, that doesn't work. If you pilot a plane, you know how dangerous it is to try to land without listening to words from the tower. So in an abrupt shift of metaphor, Jesus tells us a story about God. And he says that God is like a farmer who is out sowing seed. And the seed that he is sowing is the seed of God's word to us, God's message to us. And this word that God has for us is a word that when it takes root in us, causes us to bear fruit. And not just a little fruit, but a lot of fruit. That is the promise of this story of the sower and the seed. God wants to plant the seed of the Word of God into each one of our lives because God's desire is to give us the opportunity to bear abundant and even beautiful fruit. God wants our lives to be lives of bearing amazing fruit, fruit that gives the world joy and gives us great joy. There is nothing better in life than when you are bearing fruit for the world to enjoy. And God's promise is that if you receive God's word and let it take root in you, then you will be about the joyful life of bearing fruit. That is God's ultimate goal for you, to give you the joy of bearing the fruit of the kingdom of God. God's goal is not to whip you into shape or to make you to feel guilty all the time. It's not to keep some sort of a scorecard on your life. God's word is intended to give you the great joy of bearing fruit. So it's no surprise that when we hear Jesus tell this story about receiving the word, the first and the last words that he uses is listen. Listen for my word. Listen to my word. Listen. In the 23 verses that I read to you from Matthew, Jesus uses the words listen and hear and understand over 20 times. If you want your life to bear abundant kingdom fruit, listen, hear, understand. For the truth is that God is speaking all the time. The airwaves are full of the word of God. If only, Jesus says, we would but listen and hear and understand. God is all around us. God speaks to us in creation. God speaks to us in Scripture. And God speaks to us in Jesus. The heavens are declaring the glory of God, the psalmist says. This incredible and beautifully balanced creation is giving us a word about our God. God's goodness and sustaining spirit, God's creative web of beauty and interdependence surrounds us every day in the earth and sky and water of creation. Listen, hear, understand. God speaks to us throughout the Bible. This incredible story of God and God's people with lessons on every page. A sacred text handed down to us over 100 generations. Listen, hear, and understand. And God speaks to us in Jesus, the Word of God made human, King of kings, Lord of lords, who takes on our flesh and speaks human language and tells us stories about the kingdom and focuses on what good life looks like. Jesus, a suffering servant who gives up his life for his friends and overcomes death itself, God with skin on, with four accounts of his life in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Listen, hear, understand. If you want to live an abundantly fruitful life, God says, you begin by listening and hearing and understanding the Word of God in creation, in Scripture, and in the life of Jesus. Because without it, it's hard to make it through life. Yeah, sure, millions of people do. In fact, billions of people do. Millions and billions survive without paying much attention to God at all. They've got families, they hold jobs. Sometimes they make a ton of money without even listening. And God says, if that's all that you want, then that's all that you'll likely get. But if you want the joy, the incredible joy of bearing kingdom fruit, of living for heavenly purposes, of discovering a deeper meaning to living, then build your life around listening, hearing, and understanding the Word of God. You know, early in his life, the Apostle Paul was a persecutor of people who followed Jesus. And it wasn't until one day on the road to Damascus that he was knocked down and blinded and questioned by Jesus as to why he was persecuting them. And in the days that followed, as he got his sight back, it changed from being a persecutor of followers of Jesus to becoming a follower himself. And follow he did, bringing the word of God around the Mediterranean region and writing 13 letters which have been included in the Bible. It helps me to understand him when he says that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Or if God is with us, who can be against us? Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Jesus said, the one who hears the word and understands it, this is the one who indeed bears fruit, 30, 60, 100-fold. This is the word from the tower. The tower is telling us about all the other planes in the sky, the ones that we can't see from our little window. Be concerned, the tower says, about all the other souls. You're flying through the air and the word is all around you. Do you land this thing alone? Or do you put on your headphones? For the one who hears the word and understands it, this is the one who bears much fruit. So every year at Advent and Lent, we purchase for you devotionals. And then also through the course of the year, there are other devotionals that are available to you at the church. This year, we purchased a devotional called Moving Toward the Manger. It's reflections on the writing of Friedrich Buechner by Martin Marty. They are small messages on scripture, an average about 15 sentences each day. You probably read a lot more than that just looking up Facebook, or at least I hope you do. But then there are these 15 sentences that your church suggests that you read called the Word of God and reflections on them, the teachings of Jesus, vectors from heaven. And I want to encourage each one of you today to pick up one and through the Advent season to read these 15 sentences each day. I know we probably don't have enough for today. We will have more next week. But this is the seed that the farmer is sowing on your soil. Is it rocky soil? Is it hardened traffic soil? Is it thorny soil? Or is it good, open, airy soil? Who knows? But one thing that I can tell you is the farmer has not stopped sowing. The farmer is scattering the seed to the left and to the right, seeing who will listen and hear and understand. Are your headphones on? Is the word of God coming in with every hope for a good landing? Amen.